Concerns over the safety of high-rise buildings are spreading across the country. In Western Sydney, engineers reviewing the safety of the cracked Opal Tower are expected to hand down their report later this week. Meanwhile, there are reports the Victorian Building Watchdog has also opened a review into the safety of a number of buildings developed by the same construction company, Icon, in Melbourne. It comes as residents returning to their homes in the Opal Tower in Sydney say they're furious after finding that their homes have been trashed by building inspectors. Sahil Basin is the National General Manager of Roscon, a company that specialises in identifying and reporting building defects and advises body corporates on building issues. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, in the days after the cracks emerged at Opal Tower, fingers were pointed pretty well much immediately at certifiers, and then you had the New South Wales government talk about being prepared to throw the book at dodgy building certifiers. Is that a fair cop?
No, that was unfairly targeted at the building surveyors or certifiers, as they have mentioned, because a certifier's job is merely to collect the certification that's issued by other practitioners on site. So to give you an example of that, a structural engineer would design footings or a structure. Once that structure is then certified to say it is compliant or this design complies with the requirements, a building surveyor merely just collects the certificate of that. He doesn't go around breaking a concrete tilt panel wall and checking how much reinforcement's in there or start drilling holes into the slab. So blaming certifiers was incorrect. And, you know, the government's known itself, it commissioned an actual inquiry itself, which highlighted 85% of buildings constructed in New South Wales had building defects, and that was commissioned with the University of New South Wales, and they've done nothing about it.
Okay, well, I'll go into that report, but just in terms of where the buck lies then, or where the finger should be pointed, if you're saying it's not at the certifiers, where should the finger be pointed?
So that's the investigation that's currently taking place. It would either lie with the structural engineer or the builder. So at the moment, we've seen that there's some correspondence that has come out that said that it wasn't an engineering design fault, so then it would lie with the builder. With these matters, you normally have it's a top-down approach. So how it normally works is that developer obviously has to make some money from the project, and how it works is the developer says to the builder, we've got X amount to construct a project, and it's normally for an apartment tower building somewhere between 80 to 120 million. Then what happens from that is that the builder essentially starts cutting corners wherever they can to try and meet that budget estimate. So, you know, granite bench tops go to stone bench tops. Things that can't be seen, like concrete tilt panels. There's difference in MPA of concrete that you can get. So that is the stiffness of concrete and the hardness of concrete. The exposed or the internal Rio bars, which are the steel bars that are in the concrete. All these things corners can be cut without the customer actually noticing it. So this is the problem, systemic problem that we've got, not just in New South Wales, but around Australia.
So is the problem here that you've got a plan or a proposal that's approved for the developer, then goes to the builder, and what you end up with might not actually reflect what was initially approved?
That's correct. And I'm not saying that's the instance in this case because the investigation hasn't finished, but it occurs a lot around Australia in all the buildings that we audit. To give you an idea, we do around 5,000 audits a year and have engineers on site in every state. And what we find is that sometimes even false documentation is supplied. Now, I'll just justify that by saying that statement is sometimes glass comes from overseas, as an example, because it's very cheap to get glass from overseas. We ask for glazing certificates, say 12 or 24 months after the build has concluded, and automatically we get an email from the glazing company overseas with a certificate. However, that certificate is done by an administration person, and they've forgot to actually backdate the certificate, and they've just issued it on the date that we've asked for it. So there's a lot of certification that comes in for products that are an overseas nature, and I'm not saying that the concrete tilt panels were brought in from overseas. That would be very unlikely. But there are products that come which certification that is not true and correct.
Oh, well, we've seen that certainly with the concerns around asbestos coming from China as well. But just going to that report that you mentioned just a little earlier, it was commissioned over a year ago by the Building Ministers Forum, which consists of federal, state and territory ministers. And there were some pretty concerning things that were identified in that report. It essentially found that those involved in high-rise construction have been largely left to their own devices. Is that where the problem lies, and what needs to happen to fix this?
That's correct. So the actual surveillance or the inspections by the authorities, the Victorian Building Authority in Victoria and other retrospective states and territories, needs to be a lot more vigilant. Like, to give you an example, for the average consumer, there was around 2-3% of buildings that have been audited by the Victorian Building Authority throughout construction in the last 3 or 4 years. To give you another stat, 96% of building permits that were issued were found to be non-compliant by the Auditor General's report in Victoria as well. So what needs to happen is there needs to be far more surveillance. We've got the regulations. We've got one of the best regulations in the world. However, the surveillance isn't there. If I break it down to an example that everyone would understand, if you think about health, councils and municipal building surveyors or municipal authorities have got the resources to have a look at health concerns. So as an example, if you're running a burger shop in the middle of Swanson Street, you'll know that Melbourne City Council will be there at least once a year to audit that burger shop because they've got 50 health inspectors. Now, that is health. It concerns people's health. It should be the same in building and construction. To only have 2% of construction audited is appalling, and they've just lifted that figure as a target to try and achieve to 8%. And that's even too low.
Mm. You mentioned a little bit earlier, you came to the defence a little bit earlier of certifiers on the back of the criticism of the Opal Tower. But this report that we're talking about certainly raised concerns around the role of certifiers and the fact that they may be too close to developers and compromised. Is there an issue there that you accept?
On that one, I certainly accept an issue. And that changed in the 1990s when building surveyors were privatised, when they were all used to be in councils. And what's essentially happened there is now a developer will shop around for a building certifier or a building surveyor that will essentially give them their requirements. So to give you an idea of what I'm talking about there, when I started in this game 15 years ago, when you had a look at an occupancy permit, which is the final document you get from a certifier after the construction is completed, there used to be one or two dispensations. So dispensations are things that the building can't comply with. And it, like, say, as in a heritage building, there used to be a dispensation given out for a disability ramp or a lift that can't be installed, and everyone understood that. However, now what we're starting to see is in an occupancy permit, 4 pages of dispensations issued, not just one or two, prior to even getting to the occupancy permit. And that's essentially happened from privatisation, where a developer can choose their own building certifier, and this really needs to change, where a developer can, and the developer basically says, listen, unless you give me all these dispensations that I'm looking for, I'll go to the next person because everyone's looking for that business. So that does need to change.
Okay, well, there's certainly a lot of concerns being raised at all sort of facets across this sector. Just finally and briefly, Sahil, do you anticipate that we're going to see more instances like Opal Towers in other places like Sydney or Melbourne?
The building defects have already been systemic across Australia. It's just this is the first failure that looks like a structural nature. However, there's buildings that get constructed every month that we go to that we have a building defect report on with over 200 to 300 items in each building that are defective. However, this is the first structural failure in its that's been reported. However, this will become more and more vigilant. People will see more and more of this as construction methodologies get as lightweight. So as an example, it used to be all concrete, bricks, but now that we're starting to use lightweight construction like cement sheet, polystyrene, lightweight cladding, these are going to start becoming more and more widespread.
Right, okay. Well, not the first and not the last. Thank you so much for your time today.
No problems. Have a great day.
You too. Sahil Bahsin is the National General Manager of Roscon, which is a company that specialises in identifying and reporting building defects.